The drama of salvation is getting worked out in the context of leprosy. And so we hear from Leviticus all of these prescriptions and directives regarding leprosy. And then we have, in the gospel, Jesus healing a leper. So when we talk about leprosy, I think in order to actually understand what Jesus is doing and what his intention is, what his purpose is, and what Mark is trying to communicate the gospel in the gospel, we need to understand some of the background regarding leprosy. And so when we talk about leprosy, the word literally means to peel off. So it's the peeling off of the flesh. In modern terms, Hansen's disease. And you can actually get onto the internet and check some of this out. It's it will take your breath away, you might say. And so this was going on during the time of Aaron and Moses. And Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14, deal in a complete and full way with how does the community respond when somebody has leprosy or there are signs of leprosy. So sores, scabs come about. The person is to go to the priest. See, back then, priests had to be doctors, too. Man, that would have been really hard. Okay. You probably would not want to come to me anyway. And then the priest would diagnose it, is this leprosy or is it not leprosy? If it's leprosy, then basically the person is excommunicated from the community because it was a virulent skin disease and it was a communicable disease. It could easily be caught. And so what did that mean? Well, they were excommunicated, basically cast out, as it was we just heard about from Leviticus in the first reading, out of their worshiping community, so out of the people of God. They had no participation in the life of worship. And they were also excommunicated out of their families. They would have no more contact with their families. They were to remain 200 to 300 yards off of the main road. Anytime that they moved around, they would have to be ringing a bell. As we heard in the first reading, they were to tear their clothes kind of as a sign that a leper is near. So if you see this visible sign, their hair was to be disheveled. So there was all kinds of prescriptions and norms to protect the community from this person. And so you could have, and it was forbidden to have any kind of contact with a leper. So let alone have contact, you can even be within 200 to 300 yards of a leper. So interesting that Jesus touches the leper, which could be certainly prosecuted even to the point of death or being cast out himself. Okay, when it came to leprosy, the rabbis at the time, their commentary, they said leprosy was basically a living death. And the way that it was understood, if you had leprosy, it was not like any other sickness. It required a direct divine intervention. God himself would have to do the healing. And in fact, they equated it with, the healing of leprosy was equated with actually bringing someone back from the dead. Okay, so that's how serious it is. And this is the only instance of Jesus healing leprosy other than the 10 lepers that came to him that you remember in the Gospel of John, I believe. So there's the context for us, this leprosy, a grave situation that Jesus is encountering. And it's, we talk about the healing and how that's a wonderful thing, but there's much more that Jesus is trying to communicate. He is on the scene now after John the Baptist, right, has been taken away and put in prison. And he has come to, as we heard 3 weeks ago, proclaim the gospel of God. And his message was, repent and believe in the gospel. We reflected and we considered that. And so the proclamation of the gospel is about to believe in the one whom he sent, whom the Father sent, that this is God. And so this gospel passage is just permeated by divine characteristics and attributes. So you have the leper. So he would have well known that only a direct divine intervention could bring about healing. So that if the leper goes to Jesus for a direct healing, that means he's acknowledging Jesus as God, okay? So we have a manifestation of someone who has divine faith. Moreover, what does the leper tell Jesus? He tells Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. So it's not you interceding on my behalf. You can affect the healing by your will. So if it has to come from God, the healing has to come from God as it was accepted and understood, and that Jesus could will it, another affirmation that Jesus is divine, Jesus is God. How does the leper approach Jesus? He gets down on his knees. That is a gesture of adoration, which is an expression, a manifestation that one is what? In the divine presence. Him to request, him begging Jesus for healing, is another expression of the way one would communicate with, not with a human being, but with God. Okay, so just in the leper's approach, there's all kinds of sign value by the way that he's relating to Jesus that point us to Jesus' divinity, that he's the Son of God, right? That's what he came to proclaim and for people to come to him in that kind of faith. Okay, so the healing happens. The healing is effected. Then what? Well, he tells the leper to go see the priest to be cleansed, and the purpose of the cleansing was so that the priest would not be affected by the disease, right? It's contagious. So if you think that you had a healing, you go to the priest. He investigates to determine whether a healing has occurred. And then if one has occurred, the person is to do what Jesus said, offer sacrifice for the healing that you receive. The offering of sacrifice was to communicate to the community, the people of God, that God had intervened and miraculously cured a person, and that the person could be integrated back into the worshiping community. All right? So what Jesus does is he points him in a direction according to this prescripts that we find in the book of Leviticus as to affirm that God has acted in this individual's life. So it's another affirmation of what? That Jesus is truly the Son of God. Now, interesting, this is the third week in a row that Jesus is hushing someone. He sternly warned him, don't tell anyone. Sternly warned him. And of course, he tells everyone. You know, that kind of a, you know, basic, if you have a death sentence and you're healed, probably pretty hard to contain yourself. So he's going and spreading it all around. Well, if Jesus is wanting to, you know, get the message out there that he is truly the Son of God, why not let the man just go tell everybody about it? Because if it's done in this fashion, people will completely miss the faith message of faith and belief in Jesus and his divinity and the Son of God. It's like you winning the lottery, right? 20 million, 500 million, whatever it is. You will be called the next day by relatives that you haven't heard from for years, right? And they will be so interested in you, right? No, they will be completely interested in what you have, what you possess, what you can provide from them. They won't have any interest in learning more about you and relating to you. Well, it's the same thing with the people. They're going to be swamping towards him, not because he's the Son of God, because they want some of the goods. They want to be healed, right? They want grace. They want wealth. They want status. And so that's why he continues to hush those who receive healing, because it's going to compromise his message if people come to him in a way outside of faith. Okay, so we have salvation being worked out in this situation of leprosy, the gravity and the malady of the situation, the purpose of the healing, which was ultimately to affirm and express, to epiphanize who this person is, Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, that's a nice story. We understand it. But now what? Well, leprosy is not just a skin disease. Figuratively speaking, we all carry types of leprosy. Issues and matters in our life that can own, that we don't have really any control over. We try to make progress. We continue to fail. It's going to actually take a divine intervention for change to happen. We can think about in our moral life. You know, if you have been to confession on three sequential occasions and confessed the same sin, and you have not made any progress, you've tried, you are carrying a type of leprosy. You're carrying a type of a habitual sin in which you need a divine intervention. Think about that. It's not just all willpower. There's some areas of our life that we're so enslaved, we're caught up in a particular sin that we have to be like that leper and turn to Christ. If you will, you can heal me. Okay, so there's the areas of sinfulness in our life that are basically, we could call a type of leprosy. There's also areas of weakness in our life. Like areas that it's not sin, but it's failure and deficiency. Maybe it's just bodily in the way that we look, right? Maybe it's connected to our genetics. Maybe we're prone to sickness, right? Maybe no matter what we can do, we just can't, you know, get down to a healthy weight. There's so many different things. St. Teresa of Lisieux talked about her own struggles with tuberculosis. She, you know, no matter what she did, she was suffering a serious deficiency. That's a type of leprosy, because in order to be cured, we'd have to have a divine intervention. Also, other weaknesses that are a type of leprosy that are not sins, are not related to the body, just our regular faults. St. Teresa of Lisieux, after Mass, she was part of the requirements of their religious orders. They would give thanks, you know, a period of thanksgiving after Mass. And she would always fall asleep. You ever fall asleep in prayer? Well, it was a fault, right? And so we suffer those, and no matter how hard we try, we can't get past them. Well, that's a type of leprosy, because it requires a divine intervention. Distraction in prayer. Do you have distractions in your prayer? All right. And you don't want them there, and you keep trying to fight it, and you've been struggling with it for years. That's a type of leprosy. So we carry leprosy within us in a number of different areas. And maybe the reason that the Lord permits these leprosies to occur within our lives, these deficiencies, whether it's moral or it's not a moral area, is that we might come to true faith like that leper did in today's gospel. If you will, Lord, you can heal me. Because you notice how many clean people, how many healthy people come to Jesus in faith? Zero, right? Those areas of leprosy become the springboard for true faith in Christ. And so, as we're anticipating Lent, Ash Wednesday's coming up here, might be just good to get connected and identify those areas of those ugly areas, those areas of our humanities being peeled off in some way, so that we can bring them to the Lord for healing if He wills. Knowing, as St. Paul says, that whether we're healed or we're not healed, it's all for the glory of God. Meaning, basically, I would prefer to be healed, but if I'm not healed, it's not going to ruin my day.